Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm good. I've got the comments for yesterday's SmackDown review up. Of course, yesterday being Wednesday.
Yeah.
You're getting this on Saturday, folks.
Have you picked certain comments?
No. Just trying to find.
So this will be in relation to the Andrade Cien Almas match where I said it did a really good job of making him feel like a credible main eventer to AJ Styles. And you, because you're a big negative Nelly who just hates everything, said no, it was full of big dumb faces and everyone smelled coming out of it. And then we were going through the comments today and it turns out everyone was mostly in agreement with me. And we've even been getting tweets about how the fact that people are in agreement with me.
I'm glad you talked some nonsense just then, because there's a lot of troll accounts, obviously, who have posted stuff in agreement with you and then upvoted their own post, which is sad. But I've scrolled down a bit. There's one halfway down the page with 12 thumbs up, all legit, I'm sure, from Redfish Bluefish. I'm totally on Ollie's side here. The Almas match was a step up, but there's no way that I, personally, see him as a main event level yet. One good match with Styles and two all right matches with Sin Cara just doesn't scream main event star to me. And that's pretty much the consensus from everyone.
So to peel back the curtain, ladies and gentlemen, Ollie said to me just before we came in to record this, like, how were the comments? Like, were there a lot of like agreement over what we said? And I was like, I mean, yeah, everyone was on my side, but everyone was bad to be on my side. I was being positive.
That's not always the case. Like, just Roman Reigns is the exception to that rule.
Yes. Have you got anything planned for this weekend? Where are you currently when people are listening to this?
I am currently at my lady partner's surprise birthday present I've got her.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, have I told you what this is?
You haven't.
So it's my lady partner's 30th birthday on Monday, which means the frickin' 5 days either side of it are filled with festivities. Not going to get a moment to myself. Zelda's going to have to take a back seat. And so tomorrow, going to a Lido.
Zelda, I can't believe you just name dropped your mistress on this show.
Did I?
Well, you just said Zelda.
Zelda?
Oh, you mean the game. Right,
the
sorry.
Game.
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
So tomorrow is making an adultery joke on my lady partner's 30th scene. It's a heated pool party at night time.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty cool like that. Did I tell you about the advert that we saw this place for? It was like, food, street food, as everywhere does now. Craft beer, as everywhere does now. And then, at the bottom, Insta-friendly inflatables.
Oh, no!
So let's extrapolate that selling point out here.
I feel a bit ill.
It's attracting the sort of people who want to go to a place to take photos that make them look good to other people they only see rarely.
Yes.
Whereas I want to go just to have a good time.
Absolutely, as a lot of people often do.
Yeah.
But no, they are looking for like, a bit like that Aperol Spritz event that you and I went to, which was on.
All for the grams.
All for the grams. There was no other reason but for the grams.
To be fair, though, there's a giant pizza slice inflatable, which I'm going to be all over.
Yeah.
It's probably going to pop when I get drunk and try and eat it. Blind drunk. See this large, oh, it's the world's biggest pizza. Smash.
Yeah.
So that's Friday. and on Saturday, so this is the surprise. There's no way we'll be doing it, so no one's going to find my girlfriend on Twitter and tweet her, this is the surprise. So, The Hunted Experience.
No way!
Yeah, I got tickets ages ago. It's sold out for a while now. But this is a thing on Channel 4 over here in the UK, and people are just dumped with like a phone, and they've got to evade trackers.
It's not even that. You're essentially just, you choose what you take with you. Some people, because you don't want to take a phone, because people can track that, or the police can track that. And you start in this area, and you're off to the race, and you have to run, and you have to survive for a certain number of days without being caught by these people that are hunting you down using like surveillance techniques and whatnot. And then you have to get to a certain point by the end of the few days, and you get a big prize sum at the end of it.
Yeah, so we don't get a prize sum. And it's not for that long, it's just for 2 hours. But we will be running around London, interacting with various different actors.
Cool,
it's going to be fun. They're going to give us a phone at the start, where apparently our contact is going to send us clues.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's that.
And that's pretty badass.
Yeah, that's the... So what about you?
Currently, the reason I'm not going to be attending your super awesome pool party is because I'm going away for my friend's 30th birthday. I don't know whereabouts it is. I've got a postcode that I'm going to plug into my sat-nav tomorrow, being Friday, to drive there. It's near Battle, I can tell you that much. Which is near Hastings.
Battle is a great name.
Isn't it just? And we're going on a wine tasting tour, I believe, on the Saturday, which sounds like it's going to be delightful. And then we've got a chef coming in to make us a big old load of food.
High society Luke over here.
Yeah,
married into that. That isn't you.
It's not me, no. That's why I had to buy more shirts last week.
From Primark.
Yeah, I had to get some chinos. Mm. Speaking of which, I saw a lad today on the tube, and I suddenly thought, that's my style.
Oh, yeah? Did you take a sneaky photo?
I couldn't do that. It felt a bit weird to do that. But he was wearing, like, he was just a really good, he was a really well-dressed guy. And I was like, I can't look this cool.
Describe it.
Well, he was wearing, like, these really smart trainers, some, like, dark green chinos, a red check shirt.
Mm.
But I think keenly, he was a ginger lad, but he had a really nice haircut. And he had a 5 o'clock shadow, but a big, thick mustache as well.
Wow.
And it was I think it was the mustache and the shadow that I thought, that just really completes that look. He looks really awesome.
So kind of like Hulk Hogan in NWO heel days.
Well, yeah, but he'd like dyed it and all stuff, and it looked like nonsense. But I can't grow the 5 o'clock shadow, which is going to hurt. And I can't really have a proper haircut because of my male pattern baldness.
I think if you shave the chin beard and the whole head, but keep the mustache, that will be a look.
It would be a look, all right. That is something. It would be a look. But I saw it, I was like, oh, there it is. Because previously, I've been looking at like my style that I might do. You know, where I'm trying to like look a bit smarter, not trying to dress like I was 15, which I'm still doing at the age of 32.
Wrestle talk, get better under that umbrella.
Exactly. But I realised recently that I can't really do the style that I want to do, which was like nice jeans, nice trainers, sort of plain t-shirts and like really nice shirts over it, sort of open. I can't do that because that's what Laurie dresses.
He's a stylish man.
He's such a stylish man. And he's got a really good selection of hats. And he's got a really good beard. He is a style icon. And I'm like, no, I can't really do that now because that's what he... And it would just look like I'm emulating him.
Yeah, that's a shame that you've only decided this a couple... In fact, it's kind of suspicious that you've only decided this 3 months after Laurie being here
It's because... Actually, Laurie's been like that for a long time.
Yeah.
I've only just sort of put two and two together that...
You love him.
That I love him and I love the way that he dresses.
Like Bailey and Sasha Banks, it's taken that long for her to realise.
We had some rubbish friends therapy segments and we didn't air.
Some weird tag matches.
Yep.
That, yeah.
Yeah, against the Riot Squad, no less.
The signs were there. It's in hindsight, though, eh? You just don't know you're in Sasha Banks Bailey's feud until.
Hindsight's always 2020, mate. I'll give you a little bit of quick correspondence here before we get on. This is from Harry Iverson. Now, over the weekend.
His name sounds familiar.
He is a guy who interacts with us quite a bit on Twitter. I don't think he's a pledge hammer. I can't quite remember. And so on Saturday, I discovered a Twitter account that was called Out of Context Backyard Wrestling. And it was just like gifts and videos from backyard wrestling, you know, recorded in the early 2000s and the late 90s. And it just, like, it brought a lot of nostalgia to me of when I did backyard wrestling when I was an idiot child, an idiot teenager, even when I was at university, and we'd, like, you know, do it out in our back garden there at our university household and all this sort of stuff. And we had, like, our own little federation, quote unquote, where we just did, like, crap matches. And it sort of stirred up a lot of nostalgic memories, and I shared a couple of things. I was like, God, this reminds me a lot. My character was essentially, I was called the Wild Heart, and it was essentially Raven. I was just Raven. Did the Raven pose and everything. Harry Iverson has got in touch to say, hey, Luke and Ollie, thought I would get in touch about me and my friend's backgarden wrestling promotion. Saw Luke's reactions on Twitter with some horrible backgarden wrestling accidents, and it reminded me of the backgarden wrestling me and my friend did. We never recorded it, but it was watched by a few of our friends every now and then, and sometimes we would have more than just two of us wrestling. Our wrestling promotion was called BJJWF, which stood for Backgarden Jump Jump Wrestling Federation, so we did not take ourselves too seriously.
That's pretty cool. Oh, yeah.
We had two titles, a world title and Extreme Division Championship, but more so Extremely Impressive Wrestling was just like ECW and stuff. Anyway, it was just me and my friend most of the time, but we were put on a 2-hour show as a TV taping and 3 to 4 hours for pay-per-views. And he's kind of talks about like how the sort of songs that they used, and like he just took his docking station out there to play the tracks for entrances. But they had, there was two of them, 15 wrestlers. Wow. In their promotion.
Oh, so they cycled through gimmicks.
Yeah, and they all had unique gimmicks. And it was a lot of fun flicking between characters and then wrestling as ourselves. Oh, I forgot to mention that Jump Jump came from the fact that it was all done on a 15-foot trampoline I owned in my back garden. Sometimes there would be incidents, mostly done by myself, as I used to do flippy S-word moves. One was a shooting star press, which I only tried 2 to 3 times and never again, because I pretty much did a Brock Lesnar and died. Another bad one for myself was I was one of my favourite characters called Alex Black, an undefeated New Zealand rugby player, who was a combination of Goldberg, Crimson from TNA, and Rhino. One of his finishes was...
of those is not like the other. Yeah?
Yeah. It's Goldberg, right?
Yeah.
One of his finishes was a jackhammer-esque move. It was more of a suplex lift into a power slam, which is what a jackhammer is, really. But one of my friends couldn't get his head round it, and he was supposed to help me hold him up and rather than just go straight over as a suplex. Some bad communication later, we went to do the move, and he just went over as a suplex, and as I came down twisting my body, he got a boost, something that happens when you land near someone else's head, and you land on a trampoline. It gives you a bigger bounce and a quicker velocity. So as I was coming down, his knee met my skull as he was on the wrong position, and he knocked me out for a whole minute. Doesn't sound long, but I woke up with the biggest headache. Anyway, I thought I would just...
A minute to be unconscious. That's pretty serious.
It's very serious. Anyway, I thought I would share this little story about my backyard wrestling career. I know I've rambled more than you and Ollie do, but I thought you might enjoy this little story if you want to let know more. Oh, he is a pledgehammer. Lots of love, the bus driver from Newcastle Airport, and $10 pledgehammer. Just to throw that out there, Harry, love you, bye.
That's where we know his name from.
Absolutely, yes.
What a guy this man is.
Isn't it just? So that is a lesson for you boys and girls. Backyard wrestling is silly.
No. just avoid the double jump thing where you...
Yep.
Yeah.
Jump jump wrestling or backyard jump jump wrestling is my favourite wrestling video. Did you ever read or... Is it read? Did you ever watch those backyard wrestling DVDs that they used to release in like the early 2000s?
No, I thought it was... It made me feel dirty.
Oh, I loved it. There was just off random times it would just like cut to a woman who was stripping... hosing herself down and then ripping off her top, and that was like the big money shot, I suppose. And then it would just cut to more terrible backyard wrestling.
Different times.
But that was my first introduction to M-Dog 20, who I've as a career that I've actually followed since then, because I really like M-Dog 20.
I like how Harry said that was my backyard wrestling career.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to phrase it.
So anyway, we've got a packed show for you today, talking about the Hulk Hogan controversy, some might say.
We're going to lose some subscribers.
We tried to play it very, like, you know, I don't know, what's the best way to play it? We tried to play it as straight as possible, maybe.
We tried to appreciate all sides of the argument.
Exactly. We didn't want to be those people that would just only look at one side of it like some sort of echo chamber. And we also talk about some NXT spoilers, so if you want to avoid those, there's some timestamps in the podcast description that you can look at, which are on every episode, thank you very much. And we've also got crap giving some mailbags, but come on, let's get into it.
Well, we're already quite scared about approaching such a sensitive and serious topic, so bear with us, we're going to say stupid stuff.
I would also say as well, it's almost a silly title, because should Hulk Hogan return? I mean, he already has.
Yes, but should it have happened?
Well, that's it. It should have
rather than should he return? Because he already has, yes.
Yeah, should he have returned in the first place? Not will he return? Because that one's been answered for us.
Pretty much, yeah.
But or this that, one...
But it's a very, very out-of-date title.
Yeah, but the more moral should Hulk Hogan return to WWE...
exactly.
...is the far more complex thing. I don't, like, just to give you... Just, don't... In the comments, just try and be civil here. I know everyone's got strong opinions on this.
Yep.
But let's be honest. It's too confusing and morally complex to really come down hard on either side. So just hear everybody out and don't defend your own position too rabidly.
Yes, that's the real key to this, is that, you know, feel free to leave your thoughts. But if someone says, I disagree... Don't be like, well, you're clearly an idiot.
Yeah, because, yeah, there's going to be... I don't think we're going to find a consensus here.
No.
Or on the channel comments.
Absolutely.
So, here's the background. Hulk Hogan, well, oh man, this is a long one. So, about over a decade ago...
It's so funny. So, recently, I was at a garden party for a friend's birthday, and someone mentioned it then. It was like, is Hulk Hogan still wrestling? And I went, oh, no, I'll tell you what it was. It was because we were talking about they're doing a film about the Gorka trial with Hulk Hogan. They're doing,
oh, like a fictionalised version.
Yes, a fictionalised version of it. So the Hogan trial. And someone said, oh, what was that? And then I started to talk about the story, and I sort of thought, oh, this is a really long story. And also, if you're not within the wrestling bubble, a really weird story.
It's fascinating, though, because it really does get to the core of what is a wrestling character.
Oh, yeah.
And, there is now a legal precedent set for what you say in character as a wrestling persona and what you say as your real-life identity, most perfectly encaptured by arguably my favourite story I've ever had to write. Hulk Hogan has a 12-inch penis. Terry Bollea does not... have a 12-inch penis. The man had to admit that under oath.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. And like, if we're going to kind of give you a bit of like a, you know, a brief history of this topic, but if you really want to get into this, there's an awesome documentary called Nobody Speak, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
And that really dives into it. And
you can find it on Netflix,
it's on
I
Netflix.
Believe.
It's a wonderful documentary, but the fictionalized movie they're doing is based on that documentary.
Mm. And it's all about a... Oh, I can't remember the paper. Is it PayPal's founder, Peter Thiel? Peter Thiel is the guy who sort of funded Hulk Hogan's case against Gorka. Gorka were the people who put the sex tape out there in the first place, and Hulk Hogan sued them. But during the whole court case thing, these comments were leaked that he made on the sex tape, and these are the racist comments that were made. So the racist comments were made over a decade ago, I believe.
2008, I believe it was.
But they came out as part of this trial that Peter Thiel was funding, reportedly, allegedly, to get back at Gorka, because Gorka initially exposed his homosexuality. So really just crazy, because otherwise Hulk Hogan, I don't think, would have had the money to have fought it in this degree.
And that's what the documentary kind of focuses on. It's these sort of like rich people buying up newspapers so they don't print stories about them.
Yeah.
It's so, kind of like the destruction of free press.
That's how high up this debate's going. So there's no way we can give you a definitive answer here. We're not going to say, like, we have the answers. We're just as confused.
We're two idiots.
Everyone's confused, really. Anyone who says that they know what Brexit is just they...
Oh,
they
no
don't,
one
don't
has
trust
a Scooby-Doo.
Them. Don't trust them. Because
absolutely not.
Either side of the political spectrum, if someone says on the right... I don't know what Brexit is either. I'm like, let's have a dialogue, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know
what a Scooby-Doo.
You're my friend. Let's have a pint.
Who really knows what's going on?
Yeah, but the people on either side, right or left, who say, yeah, this is Brexit. I'm like, no, you've lost me, because you don't know that.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Let's be honest. I mean, if the people who are actually like trying to arrange Brexit don't know what it is, then no one knows what it is.
If Danny Dyer is confused about Brexit, how can us mere mortals understand the concept? Anyway, we're getting away from the concept. Jesus, this is tough. So, Hulk Hogan, those comments came out, and that was the big controversy. Understandably so, he said some really quite deplorable things. But the other side of it is like, but like, he made those in... You know, when he didn't think he was being filmed. I say horrible things all the time just to get a laugh. I wouldn't like to be held responsible for the... I know, but he did say them. So it's...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Hogan's defence has always been, well, they're words that I grew up with, that we have always just used, so I've never seen the problem using them. And now he's saying, like, but those were wrong words to say. You know, he has been educated. And this is where the other side of the coin comes in. He was wrong to say it. Flip side of that is that, yes, but he is doing charity work and he is educating himself. He's doing X, Y, and Z to realise that what he said was wrong and why it was wrong. And that's why he's been now let back into the fold, because of all this charity work. And they're like, he's learned his lesson, X, Y, and Z. 3 years, I believe, is like the minimum sentence for racism. So it's fine. He's allowed back into the company now. He's gone around. He's apologized for what he said. Problem with that comes, for I feel, is that what Hogan essentially said was, if you're going to say those words, make sure you're not being recorded. And that was sort of what he was apologising for, kind of realising that he doesn't... That, to me, suggested he didn't know what he was apologising for. And Titus O'Neill brought that up in his statement about it.
So, I mean, I've heard... So, right, okay. So that thing happened. WWE cut all ties with Hulk Hogan. This is back in 2015. July 2015, no less. So it's actually to the month. They remove him from the Hall of Fame, which doesn't mean anything.
It means nothing.
It's just a PR move. They took the stuff down from WWE shop. That means something.
That's merchandise money,
brother. Like, they actually
took
away money. That's what speaks to Vince McMahon. But now at Extreme Rules, last Sunday, before the show, all WWE talent was told to be there for this meeting, even if you weren't booked on the show. And this is from James Ellsworth, who recounted the meeting on his Durcast podcast. And
has he got a podcast?
Everyone's got a podcast.
I mean, everyone's
Luke.
Got a podcast.
If we've got
days.
A podcast, hey, everyone's man. Got a podcast. And apparently Triple H comes out. He opens the meeting. He says, it's like, you've got to be wary of social media and be careful of stuff, because you never know when you're being recorded. So which is great advice. And Hulk Hogan then comes out and apologizes. And from, you know, apologising for genuinely saying stuff. And apparently he also says a bit of, like, echoing what Triple H said. To be honest, I see those... I wasn't there at the meeting, but from just hearing these sides of things, you can't... Those are not mutually exclusive. It's very unfortunate from a narrative perspective that you decide... That Triple H reportedly decided to have that talk when that whole thing should have really been about just making amends. Ellsworth at least said he felt like the Hulk Hogan's apology was sincere, but this is a man who's lied quite a lot. Just through, like, you know, he once claimed to have wrestled 400 days in a year.
Hulk Hogan once claimed that he was going to be the bass player for Metallica after Cliff Burton died, but he thought he was the one that turned them down. Actually, one of my other favourite ones is that he claimed that a company approached him about releasing a grill, and he said no. And their second choice was George Foreman.
I worked with someone who interviewed Hogan. Hogan blank-faced said, I didn't know Bret Hart had a book. You know, it was. I think the question was about what Bret said about Hulk. I can't remember what those comments were. And Hulk Hogan was asked about it. He said, I didn't even know he had a book. Who has a review quote in Bret Hart's book? Hulk Hogan. So that's like a sort of indirect experience I've had with Hogan's problems with the truth. Mm. Anyway, so that all happens. And
it's all a work, brother.
It sort of kicks off. There's a rumour, which really has since been discredited. It originally came from Barn Burner's podcast with Brad Shepherd and John Fisher, I think his name is. I've not heard of him before, but of course Shepherd has broken quite a lot of stuff over the last 9 months. And... Mark Henry came out and said, well, there's a 50-50 reaction. Brad Shepherd says, actually, it's more like 80-20 against, especially amongst the black members of the main roster. And you can see it by, like, it's fascinating for a company that everyone walks on eggshells backstage, so we hear. Maybe not so much in the last year, but definitely in recent memory. And you never want to talk out against the company. You never want to be seen as going against Vince McMahon, because they'll just fire you sometimes. And
Tyson Neal was suspended for grabbing his arm.
Yeah. So, but in the last couple of days, New Day have posted a very lengthy statement effectively saying, we totally get why Hogan's in the Hall of Fame. because he's one of the most famous wrestlers that ever lived, essentially. However, on a personal level, we're just not going to deal with him.
Yeah.
Which which heavily implies they're not happy about it. Titus O'Neil has said something very similar, but more in depth of denying the rumour that he stormed out of the meeting. That seems completely false, actually. And Sasha Banks liked Titus O'Neil's statement. So it kind of lumps them all together.
And there was also those rumours that Titus was liking comments on Instagram.
Yes,
was
against it,
but we couldn't verify that, could we? Or rather, you were searching for it.
Well, it was on Reddit, and it was just an image that someone posted. It's very hard to like track down who's liked an Instagram post. So I was just like, just take it with a pinch of salt. This is what someone has seen and claims to be true, but it could easily be doctored. Mm-hmm. But you know, like looking at the other things, maybe not.
Yes, absolutely.
So it seems like. And I believe Dave Meltzer on the Wrestling Observer Radio said today, which is Thursday we're recording this, that, a lot of people were unhappy. He was surprised at how many people were unhappy backstage. Mm. I'm sure there'll be more in the Observer, which has been delayed, so we haven't read it yet.
No.
It's WWE have been waiting 3 years for this. There's been so many false starts going back. Like it was about after a year, wasn't it, that all these rumours started to come out. A year and a bit into the suspension, whatever that was, it was not a suspension. Brooke Hogan told TMZ that Hulk Hogan was coming back for WrestleMania 33, and that was a done deal, she said. But that never happened. Hulk Hogan would be around for WrestleMania weekend. Velveteen Dream did his Hulk Hogan cosplay at the last.
I think you'll find it was Ricochet.
Yeah.
No, it was
King Velveteen Dream.
No, I know, but it was...
Oh, and Prince Puma, but it was It was both. It was when he's doing the Hulk Hogan ear thing.
No,
things.
It was only Prince Puma.
And they were Hulk Hogan and Velveteen Dream were joshing on Twitter as well.
It's only Prince Puma.
This seems to have been in the plans for a while. Meltzer has said it's just a case of waiting on if sponsors are okay with it. Seems like the sponsor said... 3 years, which seems like a good amount of time. So exactly on the third year, he's back.
Pretty much, yeah. Since he'd left, they've been planning for him to go, waiting for the day that he can come back into the fold. And Hogan has been saying in interviews himself, it's just like, we're just waiting for the right time. You know, it's not a case of if, it's a case of when.
Brother.
And that when...
HH.
Much love, HH. And work yourself into a shoot, brother.
It's not how Twitter works.
I don't know. My father-in-law signs off text messages like their emails.
Sincerely.
Well, yeah. It'll be
all
thanks,
the best.
Thanks, and he'll either write dad or his name.
So Hulk Hogan signs off all his tweets with HH, just in case you didn't know, because
you know it's
by
him.
The profile picture and the Twitter handle.
The
tick.
But I mean, here's my stance on this. Not saying that my stance is right or wrong. It's just where I sort of fall in.
How
on
you
this
feel thing. About it?
How I feel about
as
it
as a
yeah.
white man,
as a white, as a straight white male. Him going back into the Hall of Fame is just—it's not a thing because the Hall of Fame is not a real thing. It's PR nonsense, really. It's not a legit thing.
You pointed out Mike Tyson's in there.
Well, yeah.
He's a convicted rapist.
Exactly. China is not allowed into the Hall of Fame because Triple H is worried that if you Google China, or specifically, if my daughters Google China, they'll see what she did. And I'm like, if you Google Mike Tyson, you'll find out he was a convicted rapist. He's allowed in. If you Googled probably half of the people who are in the Hall of Fame, they've probably all done something wrong.
Yeah, so it's quite a motley bunch anyway, amongst, of course, some absolutely superb people. So it's like... Whether he's in the... But the whole thing is, it's the perception, not what Hall of Fame actually is, but the perception of WWE honouring someone like this.
Yes. And so him going into the Hall of Fame is, you know, just being reinstated, not an issue. I suppose it depends on what role Hulk Hogan's going to be playing going forward. Is he going to be a company ambassador? Is that going to reflect poorly on the company, having someone who was... I mean, and it's not like this was... It's not like when Ultimate Warrior was doing all of his homophobic and racial slurs when he was doing his...
God, I forgot about that.
When he was doing his university tours and the awful things that man said.
A lot worse.
So, a lot worse. And in a much more public forum as well. But those weren't reported on quite as widely as Hulk Hogan's was. And because he's Hulk Hogan, he's one of the biggest names, if not the biggest name in wrestling history. that him then being kind of like on the forefront of a company, just does it reflect poorly on them to an outsider who'd be like, whoa, yeah, but wasn't that that guy who said all those really bad things on that sex tape? You know, I would, if it was me, I'd have probably lobbied for him just to go into the Hall of Fame and not really done anything else. But that's perhaps just me.
Yeah.
Although I do believe in second chances.
I
third and fourth, whatever he's had.
Totally. Yeah, because everyone can change.
Like, exactly.
I'm a very different person than I was this morning.
Yeah.
I was hungry this morning.
Oh,
and now I've got a very different composition. I've just eaten. It was delicious.
Your lunch today smelt terrific.
It was really good. It was a curry.
It was amazing. It smelled like takeaway curry. It was that good.
So it is difficult with Hogan.
Where do you stand on it?
Where do I stand? So from a viewer, like what I see as interesting programming, remove all the morality aside, I don't really care about Hulk Hogan. That ship has sailed for me personally, and I think his nostalgia performances, I've seen enough of them. Like, I'm not going to be sitting around going, man, they need to bring Hogan back for this feud. Oh, wouldn't a Hogan-Velveteen Dream partnership in NXT be good? No, it'd be terrible. Like, it would completely overshadow Dream.
I saw an amazing comment today. I believe it was from... I got sent it as a tweet, but I believe the idea came originally from What Culture, which is that Bobby Lashley's going to win the Universal Championship at SummerSlam, and Hogan's going to come out to endorse him.
Nice.
And that will be, like, the big Hogan apology. The big public apology for him.
Some of my best champions are Bobby Lashley. So, like, just from a viewer perspective, I don't really care to see him on TV. Not because I'm offended by him or anything, just because, like, I don't think it will make interest in television.
He can't add anything to the product.
Yeah, yeah. And I think adding in would actually take away a bit. I get that he's such a huge icon and probably the most recognizable star, wrestling star ever, globally. I just keep coming back to this in my head that I think I lost sight of what he'd actually said recently in the last couple of years. Well, he only said the N-word. You know, not only, you know, that is a big deal, of course. But then a lot of people have been reposting the full speech or monologue, promo, whatever he did on that sex tape.
Yeah.
And reading it, it's like, because you said it's the fact they use the word. But, people use that word and it's not, you can use that word, this is so sensitive. Rappers use that word is one way.
But Quentin Tarantino loves using that
exactly
word.
But the
venom behind it,
yeah, like the in context, that was not like my N-word, as Vince McMahon once famously said. It's really quite vitriolic and in a nasty way, which, and I get that this was a private conversation. So I'm also like, well, it shouldn't be out there in the first place, but it is out there. So
you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah, so it's an awful thing. But you know, if he can really prove that he's changed, because there's so much just pomp and circumstance and false projected images around Hogan. That's been his gimmick for ever since he stopped wrestling, really, and during. Like, until, and this was essential, I'm effectively echoing what Titus and you, Dave, said. Like, they, as soon as they see something genuine to convince them that he's changed from what he said back in those videos, then maybe they'll reassess their own position.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I would be very hesitant to take Hogan at his word. I'm sure he's remorseful, but like whether he still feels, whether he's remorseful because it's come out and he's sad and guilty, or whether he actually still holds those opinions is another matter.
Yeah.
Plus, like, I just don't think it brings anything to the product.
Yeah.
So,
that's it. Yeah, Guerrilla Position made this point as well when they were having a discussion about this, and they were talking about how, remember that they used to do those in-ring segments where you would get legends out to, like, just before the Royal Rumble, like, oh, you've all been in Royal Rumbles? Like, what do you think? And you'd have, like, Michaels and Ric Flair. And Michaels and Ric Flair are two people who can talk normally. They can just, like, if you ask them to say something, they'll just say stuff. But Hogan automatically goes into promo mode. He goes into Hulk Hogan mode. And it doesn't really fit in today's style. He cuts 80s promos, which don't work in 2018. And so, yeah, when people were saying, like, oh, he could be the new SmackDown general manager, I was like, how awful would that be?
week in, week out of him coming out going like, well, you know something, dude. I'm like, well, it's not 1988 anymore, Hogan. You can't be, you can't, that doesn't work. So I, for me, he would add absolutely zero to the product.
Yeah, so it's a thanks for sticking with us for 20 minutes of this topic. It is a difficult one, and hopefully we haven't said anything stupid. I don't think we said anything too stupid.
I think we were okay. We told the line. We gave some opinions.
Yeah. And they're not necessarily the right opinions. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog. Quick, dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
As the title placard that just came up suggests, we are going to talk about some NXT spoilers. So if you don't want to know...
How's that going to work for podcast listeners? Well, they just hear the ding, ding, ding.
Oh, okay. Well, I was about to say I'm going to give people a warning anyway.
Okay. Like,
we're about to talk about the NXT spoilers that are going to be airing in the lead-up to TakeOver Brooklyn 4. So if you don't want to hear those, skip ahead. There will be timestamps in the podcast description. There will be timestamps on the YouTube description. So just skip ahead to either of one of those if you don't want to hear us talking about it. We're not going to bring it up again in other portions of this episode. So,
and you don't want to ruin CM Punk coming back
like that
for yourself.
And
it's
Ollie,
really good surprise.
Ollie was very kind this morning. He texted me.
Oh, so wait, is this now we're in spoiler territory?
Not in spoiler territory just yet. So okay. Ollie texted me this morning saying, like, hey, so there's an NXT spoiler in the news today. Do you not want to do it? And I was like, well, I've had a few people on Twitter already tell me anyway, so I already know what it
is.
Yes, CM Punk returns. So here it is. Now we're about to talk about spoilers. This is, you've had so much warning now. You cannot.
Not 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. 3, 2, 1.
Now we're talking spoilers. So, there was a big bit of news that came out. It's probably one of the biggest bits of news in NXT in quite a few months, really.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say this is absolutely massive.
It's huge.
Huge. Keith Lee debuted, and he had a match beating some enhancement talent.
Debuted in a squash match.
Exactly. So, I mean, the future of NXT is here.
Nothing stellar. Nothing bad, either. Solid.
It's the NXT way sometimes. Mm. In fact, I'd argue probably most of the time. The only time I could think it hasn't been that really was
Ricochet.
Ricochet and EC3, where they put into that ladder match. Otherwise, it's just like War Raiders, do some squash matches.
Oh, the we signed too many people last month match.
Yeah.
5 stars, according to Meltzer.
Absolutely. Kona Reeves, just do squash matches. Yeah. You know, you just go through enhancement talent until you get to a storyline, until they can find a storyline for you.
I would say that's, like, I love Triple H's mentality and the booking of NXT to replicate those territory days where TV was just squash matches to build up guys, build into the big eventual pay-per-view. But this is the one bit where I'm a bit like, add in something else now, please.
Yeah, a little bit of salt and pepper into that, please. But really, the big news is that we have a new NXT champion. So on an episode that's going to air next week.
Oh, is that next week?
It's next week, yeah, because they've been advertising it now for the past sort of like 3 or 4 weeks. It's going to be Tommaso Ciampa versus Aleister Black for the NXT Championship. During the match, there's a ref bump. Johnny Gargano runs down and he starts beating up both men. He doesn't attack just Ciampa, he attacks Black as well because he's on this bit of a rampage at the moment. He's kind of like, it's going to become unhinged since his loss at Chicago. And he, through that, Tommaso Ciampa wins and is your new NXT champion. And in the following weeks, he'll come out and he cuts a promo. Aleister Black interrupts him. Gargano again runs out and just starts attacking Tommaso Ciampa. Aleister Black gives him the black mask. That's going to lead to an Aleister Black versus Johnny Gargano match that goes to a no contest through Tommaso Ciampa interference. And William Regal books the three of them in a triple threat match for the NXT Championship at Brooklyn 4, which is in the middle of August. And it's funny as well, because that was actually a lot of people's prediction coming out of Chicago, was that it was going to be the three of them fighting for the championship, but with Aleister remaining champ. So it's really interesting. That is how it played out. And I'm kind of glad that it's almost played out this way, because my reservation behind that idea initially was that, well, Aleister will be the odd man out in that, because that feels like it's still the feud between Gargano and Ciampa, and Aleister Black's there going like, but I'm the champion, though. But now he has a legitimate grievance to be in here as well, because he's going back for his title.
It's huge to see the NXT title change hands on a TV episode. It rarely changes hands at takeovers. The last one, I guess, was when Samoa Joe and Nakamura hot potatoed it a few months.
Yeah, it did, on house
shows. That was 2 years ago now.
Absolutely.
I think this is a really exciting way to take the main event scene in NXT. We both loved Gargano Ciampa 1.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I loved the second round more. Mm-hmm. Were you?
I was in agreement, yeah.
And we were both like, after the first one, we were like, yeah, but, you know, let's hold off on the second match for a while. But the second match happened, and we're like, no, okay, I'm fine for them to have a third singles match. But now I love it when NXT, or like any wrestling promotion, say, you want this? Well, you're just going to have to wait for it a bit longer. In the meantime, here's an equally awesome thing.
Yeah.
So it's the zig when you thought they were going to zag, but the zig is just as narratively satisfying. And now we can... This will really help build another Ciampa-Gargano match.
Yeah.
I mean, I see that, and I think it makes sense for Ciampa to retain.
During the triple threat match.
Yeah, but Gargano doesn't get pinned, and then Gargano and Ciampa can have that huge match to pay it all off.
It's a real shame for Aleister Black, though, I feel.
Yeah, he's been... Yeah.
He won the belt from Almas at the TakeOver show in January.
Which was a shock. Because Gargano
It was the WrestleMania one. Sorry, I do apologize. It was the WrestleMania to the New Orleans show.
Yeah.
So he won the title there. Then he's defended it against Lars Sullivan at Chicago in a match that wasn't very good. Lars Sullivan wasn't really the right guy for him to be facing first time round.
Not good for NXT main event level.
Yes,
like, it was so much better than a lot of the stuff WWE put out that weekend.
Yes, but it was also a feud that was kind of like put together in the last week or so. Yeah. Didn't really have a lot of heat going into it because they were putting so much focus on the Ciampa Gargano stuff. And then here he is, and this is kind of like his second title defense that he's had as champion, and he's lost it. And Ciampa put up a tweet like earlier this month that had a picture of Aleister Black with the NXT Championship, and he just put up the coast like, Siri, show me transitional champion. And I was like, that's such a wonderful dig. And it could be proved correct, really, because Black has felt like a transitional champion to Ciampa getting it.
Ciampa, like, went through a good period where he was actively making me dislike him on Twitter, like where he would give away Infinity War spoilers. I was like, this is genuine heel heat. But he's gone back to, now you're a really good heel. I like you for being such a good heel. That's such a good tweet.
So
the
funny
other one he made about, hey, you'll finally get to main event a takeover now, Aleister Black, with fighting me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Ciampa's been something else.
He really has. And I think that's going to be an absolutely corking main event as well, because there is a lot of story going into it. It's obviously with Ciampa and Gargano, but now Aleister Black pissed off that he wants to win his belt. He has his grievances with Ciampa, but he hates Gargano as well because Gargano cost him the title. And they've been doing some really good backstage stuff with Ciampa, with Gargano and Black as well, which have been playing over the last few weeks. So this feels like it's been a nice long build up to this match. So actually, there's some other good stuff on the card as well. Mustache Mountain are going to be going back for their NXT Tag Team Championships from the Undisputed Era.
Yep, can't wait for that. Their first match was amazing.
And their second match was on NXT TV, where the Undisputed Era won back their belt, was exceptional. It was so good. It was a wonderful story that was being told. Tyler Bate selling throughout that match. And he wasn't even... He was on the apron selling throughout. Oh, it was wonderful. You've also got Shayna Baszler against Kairi Sane, a rematch from the Mae Young Classic Finals last year.
Which Sane won,
exactly, yeah. For the NXT Women's Championship. Adam Cole is defending his... is defending his North American Championship against Ricochet, which, I mean...
Oh,
God. Ugh. I'm sure that won't be good at all. No, it'll be absolutely amazing.
Just high spots. No psychology. Can't wait.
Oh, and also on the card is going to be EC3 versus Velveteen Dream in Velveteen Dream's, you know, takeover, put you over match.
Mm. That is a card where it's just like every single person on that show is going to try and steal it.
It's
going to be mass theft.
It's going to be mass theft throughout. Oh, the other big thing from the tapings that came out, Cassius Ohno won a match.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's always nice to see.
And I think other things happened. Tainara Conti, I think that's how you say it. Or Tainara Conti. I think I said the same thing twice. She qualified for the Mae Young Classic 2. And they've announced quite a few of names. Deonna Purrazzo is going to be in there with Io Shirai. And, of course, the returning... what's her chops? Caitlin.
Yeah.
Celeste Bonin.
Should we get on with some crap gimmicks?
It's time for...
Sorry, I'm still thinking about Caitlin. now go for it.
So, if you want to submit your crap gimmick suggestion, email me, luke@wrestletalk.com. But bearing in mind, I do have a backlog of about 90 to 100 at the moment, so we're working our way through them very, very slowly. This one comes in from Michael Noonan, who emails and suggests the Roadworkers.
Mm.
They're a tag team consisting of Roadworker Dave and Apprentice Ben.
Nice.
Roadworker Dave does very little work in the duo, leaving it all for his apprentice to do. The Roadworkers come down to the ring in high-vis gear and hard hats. The entrance music is jackhammers, reversing lorry sounds, diesel engines, and rollers.
Oh, that's good.
Their tag team finisher is the double jackhammer, which obviously works as a pun, but I was trying to think of it in my head. I don't know how that would work.
So what's a jackhammer again?
Jackhammer is when you get him up
for
a suplex.
Oh, it's Goldberg's finish, yeah. Well, they just both do a double suplex and then kind of...
Because then you both got to turn into the...
You both turn and land on top of them, yeah, sure.
You'd all just land in a car crash pile. So it's the double jackhammer. The promos are all cut by Dave while he makes the apprentice stand there silent. And in their pre-taped promos, it's always from a van or on the work sites. In promos, they say they will asphalt their opponents. I prefer kick their asphalt. And when opponents make a bad joke, they say that is terrible. As in terrible.
Mm.
So, and that is from, amazingly, someone called Joe Business.
You just said it was from Michael Noonan.
Oh, no, Joe... yes, because Joe Business has got the next one. Do apologise. That's from Michael Noonan.
Michael, love it. Your puns need work. Tarrable is straight up tarrable.
That is tarrable.
But I like everything else. I think there's so much scope for road workers in there. The 2x4, like, just web stop signs underneath the ring.
Absolutely.
And then they can kind of, like, you know, maybe there's a bit where there's another match going on in the crap gimmick roster. And someone's coming out for their... We could have a whole episode, a whole Monday night crap based around this, and that where the road workers are doing work on the entrance ramp. So everyone has to go round them to get to the ring.
I'm almost thinking as well, putting up like the temporary traffic lights and things like that. I'm almost thinking as well, because this is a pun on the Road Warriors, you do all of it, like, so the high-vis jackets have got spikes on them. They then have to take off.
This is good.
This is good.
And I think Dave... who is the guy in control, right? When he's on the apron in a tag match, should just be having a cup of tea.
Oh, nice brew, yeah. Really good.
That's good, Michael. I like that. And we haven't got many tag teams, it feels. It'd be good to bolster the crap gimmick wrestling tag division.
But I do want to present to you, Joe Business has got one that isn't too dissimilar.
Joe Business sounds like a gimmick in itself.
He signs off his emails with, there's no business like Joe Business.
Oh,
that's very
good.
Is
that genuinely what he did?
Yeah.
Should sign him straight up. We're signing you, Joe Business, not your gimmick.
But Joe Business
is like such a generic name. Who was that guy with the briefcase? I don't know, Joe Business.
It's Joey Jojo Junior Shabadoo.
So Joe Business has suggested Big Gary Garage, who is a 5'8" absolute brick house hailing from Essex, England, and wearing his iconic oil-stained overalls, bald head, and English flag tattoos. Wonder where he fell in the referendum. Gary travels everywhere on his on the back of one of those slidey skateboard things the mechanics use to go under cars. He always keeps his trusty metal handheld toolbox, and you'll see why in a minute. He is always asking people if they need things fixing, and he'll do them a good price, regardless if they are a heel or a face. But beware, if you reject his offer, he will at some point during the event attack you with his many weapons from the toolbox, clonk you over the head with a wrench, jab you with one of his Allen keys, or simply cover you in slippery oil. If he ever is approached by a referee, he cleverly snatches his weapons away, and all the referee finds is just a sandwich for lunch that his mum made him, which he takes out and devilishly eats. It's mainly just ham. It's basically just cheese and pickle. During the match, he is always bad-mouthing his opponents as if they are a faulty car, with lines such as, this is going to need replacing, as he concentrates on working over the arm, or this is going to cost you extra, as he baseball slides the opponents on the outside. His signature moves are essentially... You'll like this. His signature move is essentially a double nipple cripple that he calls lefty loosey, righty tighty. Nice. Thanks, guys. Absolutely love the show. Shout out to my girlfriend Fee and her sister Steph, and that is from Joe Business.
Hi, Fee and Steph.
Hi, Fee and Steph.
I really like that. It's a tough week though, because
Road workers.
So there's a lot of good stuff in there. I really like the trash talking.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Gary Garage. That's just a great name.
BGG.
Yeah, BGG. And just the idea of him walking around in the mechanics with the big wrench and stuff.
I also like the idea of jabbing people with Allen keys.
Yeah, that was so petty. And you're just like an annoying little...
It's not going to hurt you.
Like when he's taking off the to expose the turnbuckle. Maybe he has to find the right Allen key. He can never find the right one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. But I'm sure as... Do you like road workers more?
I do. Well, you know, sometimes we can sign multiple people.
No, that's not happened.
I know.
It's but one a week.
I'm trying to petition that we do, though, because some of these are very, very good.
But also, you just don't like rules, do you? That is the basis for everything.
I also, we put out the call before. We need more baby faces. We always get heel submissions in. But speaking of which, we got
heel submissions.
Yeah, we've got another
the ankle hook.
Yeah, exactly. We've got another heel submission right here. This one from Dan Summers, the mathematician, a sneering heel who wears a Ric Flair style robe to the ring, emblazoned with mathematical symbols instead of abstract designs. He works a slow, efficient, and some might say methodical style in the ring, making sure he pins his opponent often. He always counts along with the referee every chance he gets, and often chastises the official after every two count with the cries of "What comes after two?" His finishing move is the divide by zero, which is a bow and arrow lock where he attempts to stretch his opponent into the shape of a zero. He's also known for using brass knuckles in the shape of a protractor and a meter stick to beat his opponents down. His promos are laden with verbiage such as "I'm so good, I make dividing by zero possible. The minute we step in the ring, I've already counted you out, and it doesn't matter how much you think you're worth, the bigger the number, the smaller it's reciprocal, and you'll be upside down tapping out before you know it. Hope you enjoy Luke and Ollie. Once I'm done with this PhD school in maths, big surprise,
have
some money, I'm going to jump in on the Patreon." So that was from Dan Summers.
Whoa, a PhD in maths, as we say, if we just translate that into British English.
With the plural on the end,
maths.
Yeah, man, PhD in maths. That's impressive.
Must know some great numbers.
I sucked at maths as a kid.
Do you know why divide by zero is funny?
Because you cannot divide by zero.
Apart from Chuck Norris.
I'm about the only one thing I can remember. Can't remember anything about trigonometry or anything like that. Sin, cos, and tan, no idea.
You're remembering those things. Buttons on a calculator.
I don't know what they do, though.
My maths teacher back at school used to have a great way of just remembering what the how you work out the length of the hypotenuse was on a triangle, a right angle triangle. And he said, "You're taking the pith." Pythagoras theorem.
Lovely.
The pith. So yeah,
my uncle, his husband is someone, he's connected via family to the man who was behind some of those mathematical equations.
You've told me about that. That's fascinating.
There's an area in across the world that is named after their family.
Because I just assumed everything was made by Greeks. But no, stuff like that that need calculators to be dealt with. Is, more recent fare. So, we are getting away from your very well thought out proposal, Dan. I, again, really like it, but we just had Prof Wrestler come through. So I feel like that's quite similar. I mean, maybe there's a stable here of really academic-based
Yes, like him, wrestlers. Him and Prof Wrestler would be a dastardly heel tag team.
Yeah, kind of like a right to censor.
Oh, we need now as an English teacher, because then you've got all of your... you've got English, maths and science then.
Yeah, and then if we... like if, for school holidays, when Crap Gimmick Wrestling run the holiday camps, like that would, all the kids don't like, you shouldn't be on your school holidays. You
Where's
should
your
be
homework?
Learning maths.
And handing out textbooks to the kids at the ringside.
Initially, I thought the two count thing would be annoying, but the more I think about it, I think, you know, the maths professor, what's he, is he just called maths professor?
The mathematician.
The mathematician. So he needs a name as well. So the mathematician would be the nickname, but then he needs an actual stupid crap name, which is a bad pun. So he'd pin 1, 2, kick out, but then the mathematician should stand up and keep going 3, 4, but like angrily count at the crowd.
And it makes me think that I have till 5 referee.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, all very good. Strong week, but wow, did not Joe Business, that's the only name. Michael Noonan, for me. I love road warriors. Road workers.
I'm fully behind the road workers as well. It really made me chuckle when I read it and put it in here. It's good work. Good work.
We're signing you.
And if you want to send in a mailbag question, all you have to do is become one of our pledge hammers by pledging on Patreon at any dollar amount. And you can send in your questions via the awesome community that we've got over there. Just let me know it's a mailbag question and I'll add it in. This one comes in from Jared Conister, who asks, can you imagine the ramifications if Daniel Bryan convinced WWE to sign him to a non-exclusive contract?
I mean, well... If we're taking that as a serious starting point, the ramifications would be huge, because anyone above Daniel Bryan on the main roster right now would want the same thing, to work elsewhere and drive up their prices. It's a way to earn more money. I'm not saying everyone would jump at that. You've got company people through and through, like John
Randy
Cena.
Randy Orton wouldn't. That would be extra work for
him. Randy Orton. But, you know, like your Matt Hardys, your Jeffs, that would give... scope for Rey Mysterio to come in and Seth still do all these indie spots.
Exactly. It could be one of those things. And also for WWE to try and attract other people in, saying, like, we're not signing you to an exclusive contract. It's we'll bring in Kenny Omega for a one-shot deal. I mean, I've always thought that WWE would be better off if they did things like that. Just bringing people in for one shows. When they did it with Jushin Thunder Liger for NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, from the original Brooklyn, in fact, when he wrestled Tyler Breeze. What a great deal that was, because that was one of the things you're like, man, it's Jushin Thunder Liger in a WWE ring.
Different time.
And a different brand.
2 years ago. No, but they've stopped it now as well. Well, I guess you've got the Mae Young Classic. It's just that was around the same time as the first Cruiserweight Classic in 2016.
It was before that. It was well before that.
Was it well before that?
Yeah, it was about 2 years before that. It was like 4 years ago.
Well, that was... okay, well, that was like the start of a mindset. And then that mindset, I think, was killed off by Zack Sabre Jr. And Kota Ibushi. Not signing with WWE when they were originally meant to win the whole Cruiserweight Classic.
The final was meant to be Ibushi versus Zack Sabre Jr. and it ended up being TJP versus... yeah. I can't remember who it was now.
And it's like, because Sabre Jr. and Ibushi were just like, yeah, like, this was fun, but we can have a lot more fun and freedom in Japan.
I'm off to New Japan. I want to just go tap out and stretch out everyone that's over there, if you don't mind.
And that's worked out pretty damn well for them. It would be a fascinating thing. I can never see WWE doing it, though. Mm. But there is a business argument to be made. But just like continuity wise, WWE would have to acknowledge the existence of other wrestling companies. And I know they do. They'll say, like, so and so have won IWGP Tag Team Championships in Japan. Like, these wrestling companies that they refer to are never like definitive things. They're just like in Japan or over there.
Europe.
Yeah. So, I think WWE prefer it in their universe to pretend like they're the only wrestling. I disagree with that, but I can see the argument for wanting to do it.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's one of those things as well, it'll be always that, I wonder what will happen when Triple H takes over, whether he'll introduce a different mindset with his team, because it won't be the same holdover. Like, you know, I doubt Michael Hayes will still be there. I doubt Kevin Dunn will still be there when Triple H takes over, you know, because he's already building up his crew. And so he's going to use them instead, and whether they're going to introduce a new mindset. But
it's remains to be seen. I found it really funny, actually. My favorite news story of the week, I know we didn't cover it, was that after Extreme Rules, and it was everyone thought it was a bad show, all the comments were just like, Vince McMahon just needs to go. Vince McMahon is such a problem. Can't wait to Vince retire. Can't wait for Triple H to take over. It's going to be a such much better show. And then it turns out that McMahon wasn't there, and it was a Triple H show, and everyone was like, oh, okay, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. But then everyone just made the jokes of like, well, that's why Roman Reigns lost then.
Yeah, or but it was probably Road Dogg.
Yeah, Road Dogg's so bad. SmackDown's awesome at the moment. Cameron Sykes asks, if you could buy any wrestling t-shirt from the past, what would it be and why? I already know which one I'm going to pick.
You go first, then.
The APA's Always Pounding Ass t-shirt.
I was going to go a similar crappy wrestling t-shirt route, yeah.
Because that the APA Bar and Grill Always Pounding Ass is such a, you know, not thought out t-shirt. And they printed it as soon as someone went, oh, yeah, no, that doesn't really work, does it? Especially when it's JBO. I'm not gay! I don't like men! They, you know, you take it away and be like, no, let's not sell that anymore.
No, I think they did, no. There's a lot of Attitude Era shirts that are so explicitly sexual.
But on purpose, though.
Like, I think that was
when,
on purpose.
Like, when Val Venus had his t-shirt that was written in cum, like, that was very much purposefully done.
Ejaculate.
Yes.
I haven't really got an answer to this. 316. How generic's that? I haven't got one.
Actually, I do. What I remember, I did like the DX like hockey jersey one that they had.
I never had that.
Yeah, I really like that. Like suck it in 69
or
whatever it was.
Oh, like, that one. I saw that on a trip to my nan's as a kid once in a joke shop, and you didn't see wrestling merchandise just around.
I like it
in
a
those
joke
days.
Shop.
Yeah, it was in a joke shop in Margate, and I was like, how much is that? £40.
Oh, but which is a lot of money, because this has been like 98, 99.
Yeah, well, I guess it's imported merch.
That's like 250 quid now.
Something like that. And I was just like, I need it, I need it, I need it. And my mum and dad were like, no, you know, it's too big for you. It's not the right size anyway. And I was like, I want it, I'll grow into it. And they didn't. Oh, man.
Do you think you would have grown into it?
Yeah, well, eventually. I'm an adult now. Yeah, wow. Yeah, well, it would have been that one. You've unlocked a world of, like, I didn't get the birthday present I wanted.
Yeah.
Christmas present was incorrect.
You are welcome.
Pain there.
And our final mailbag question comes in from Mason, who has written, as a big fan of the Fashion Police, I was disappointed to hear of Fandango's injury. I got to thinking that since nothing will get done with Tyler as a single star, maybe it's a good idea for him to team up with someone else. I think some funny little skits of Tyler Breeze being enamored with how glorious Bobby Roode is and them eventually teaming would be really entertaining. It would allow Tyler to be taken a little more seriously and for Bobby to show a little more character. Then when Fandango returns, they could be a three-man team. In my opinion, that could be quite charming and funny. Thoughts on a three-man team of Roode, Breeze and Fandango?
No. I liked it all. I think it's quite cute to team up Bobby and Tyler. But that only as like a few... There's so much more potential in Roode. And I'm hoping with this, you know, heel turn that we speculate is going to happen, he'll be elevated to an upper mid-card main event level.
Yeah, I
but that is a hell of a long shot.
Absolutely, you know, and I've said with Tyler Breeze, like I'd really like the Fashion Police, and I think the Fashion Police is a really fun gimmick. But if Fandango is going to be out for quite some time, I'd love to see Tyler go back to his Prince Pretty gimmick. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, doing that on 205 Live would probably be his best shot. I think he'd get some really good stuff because I'm missing Tyler Breeze as a wrestler because he's such a good worker, and I'd really like to see him do some more stuff.
But we all know he'll be moved to SmackDown and it'll be Tyler and Ty.
Is that what it's going to be?
Well, I'm sure Vince will go, whose name's like that?
Yeah.
Ty Dillinger.
Also, I mean, they need him on Raw so we can job out to Mojo Rawley.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they'll make a team. I don't know what you'd do with Ty. Sorry, Tyler. Send him back to NXT, to be honest.
Or 205 Live. That would be the worst thing for him. I've got a Rusev Hey for
Rusev
you.
Hey!
And I like this one because this is called Rusev Hey, I Almost Killed Mean Gene Okerlund.
That's a Friends episode, isn't it? The one where they nearly killed Mean Gene Okerlund.
They never did like a wrestling-based episode of Friends, did they? There were never like any wrestling crossovers into there. You know like how The Rock and The Hardys and Ken Shamrock are in that episode of That 70s Show? They never did one with Friends.
Yeah, it seems to be like, you know, season 7 of a show in America, that's usually when they run out of ideas and do a wrestling crossover.
You say that, but that was in season 1 of That 70s Show.
Was it
where,
really?
Where The Rock was there. Yeah.
But they're all big wrestling fans, weren't they? So they probably fast tracked that.
But also,
Always
like,
Sunny
like,
in Philadelphia.
It was like 1999 when wrestling was popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what did Sonny always do one?
Well, Mac, I can't remember his name now. Oh, I could. Once upon a time, I used to be able to tell you all of them. Glenn Howerton? No, he's the other one. Mac, the actor who plays Mac's huge wrestling fan in real life, and he's always got like wrestling posters in the background.
Mm.
But they got Roddy Piper in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and he was what was he? The Maniac or something. But it was just a really depressing character because he was actually a maniac and insane. But yeah, they had a whole Wrestle for the Troops episode, which is horribly offensive.
Yeah, very nice. So this email comes in from Jaron Walker. Hey guys, I've been really liking this trend of people writing about their experiences with wrestlers, so I thought I'd write my own, specifically the time I was almost responsible for seriously injuring Mean Gene Okerlund. I volunteer at House of Glory Wrestling, the same place that announced Enzo Amore's return to the wrestling world, as an assistant to the sound guy. The last event we had, numerous WWE legends arrived to sign autographs, including Jeff Jarrett, Tyson Kidd, in brackets, who's kind of a P word in real life, and of course Mean Gene Okerlund. I'm not sure if you guys have been backstage at a wrestling show during pre-production, but if not, let me tell you, it's super hectic. Mm-hmm. People are usually cracking jokes and making sarcastic remarks are very serious now, and everyone is very tense getting ready for the show to begin. I was busy carrying things around the arena and at times couldn't see directly in front of me. I was asked to carry a table to the front of the arena for the commentators to sit at, and due to the fact that the table was pretty big, that's what she said, I couldn't see anything to the right side of me. As I was walking in, I suddenly felt a bump on my right shoulder with a loud "Damn it!" being yelled right afterwards. I looked to see what had happened, and it turned out I'd bumped right into the shoulder of Mean Gene. If you guys have seen footage of Mean Gene lately, you guys will be able to tell that he looks extremely old and pale nowadays. When I bumped him, I heard numerous people gasp. I was so embarrassed.
Oh,
I put the table down and apologized for my ignorance, but the man just ignored me and kept walking. Needless to say, I sat at the back of the arena quietly for the rest of the show, hoping no indie wrestlers would come up and break me in half.
Oh, that's horrible when, like, oh, because it's not your fault. It was just a thing that happened, but it just, yeah, you feel awful about that for the whole day. You feel so guilty.
Absolutely. That's pure shame.
You nearly put him through a table. You had a table. It's a massive weapon.
Now, and here's, if you want to write an email line that's going to pique my interest.
Mm.
Rusev, hey, --, Vince McMahon.
Holy moly.
Hi, Luke and Ollie. This is from Daniel Belinga. Hi, Luke and Ollie. I want to tell you about my encounter with the chairman of the board, Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon himself. I was heading to get a coffee in Canary Wharf when I noticed a group of people in wrestling t-shirts standing outside a hotel. I wondered what they were doing and asked someone, who informed me that they had seen a few of the WWE execs coming out of the hotel and were waiting for other people. I decided to wait around. From the direction of the Starbucks came Renee Young, who was lovely and stopped to pose for photos and awkward sign autographs while trying to hold her dress down. A few minutes later, Byron Saxton came out.
Oh, now we're talking stars.
And again, he was happy to oblige for pictures and autographs before heading out to the large bus in front of the hotel. All of a sudden, a stretched limousine pulled up outside the side entrance of the hotel, and lo and behold, who emerges? Vince McMahon. What's Vince's driver's name in...
Word, it's like Bill or something in Big Apple Takedown.
In Big Apple Takedown, yeah.
I'm just flicking
through.
Well,
only because he's written here the driver, and I just want to give him a name.
It's not Thompson.
No, Thompson is the
he's the agent.
The agent, that's
Tony.
Tony. So Tony takes his bags and puts them in the boot, and he opens the car door for Vince, who proceeds to close the door and inform the driver that there are people waiting for autographs and pictures. He was more than happy to stick around for a few minutes and sign every autograph and pose for every picture which he was asked before departing in his limo. That was my meeting with Vince McMahon. That's from Dan.
A positive one.
I know, right?
That's no one's completely evil.
Yeah, exactly.
They're probably only 30% evil. Mm. And that's a big family man.
So we have got a poetry corner.
Oh, could I interrupt with a one I saw last night? I've been watching Jim Jefferies' latest Netflix stand-up special, and there's a very funny bit when he is he's effectively making fun of deaf people, but he's going through the sign language for things.
Mm-hmm.
And he does the sign language for the C-bomb.
Right.
Yeah, one of the biggest swear words.
One of the biggest, yeah.
And it's effectively a DX crotch chop. That's insane, right? I'll do it to you.
Oh, that is like a DX crotch chop. Yeah. That's like a proper Triple H. It's not like a Sean Waltman.
No. So you don't X the hand.
Yeah.
What you're doing is, so you've got like, imagine a DDP diamond cutter above your head.
Absolutely.
You want to flip that down and you create that downwards point in triangle. That's just a normal vagine. But to bring your hands up and out and then to snap it down into that shape and bring them back up.
Yeah. That's very much like a Triple H taunt, isn't it? Just.
I wonder if he knew.
Oh, maybe he did.
I'm just like, I just thought I'd do that as a public service announcement. Don't go DXing random people because they might know sign language.
Have I ever told you a very embarrassing story from my teenage years when...
Well, you have, but you've got to narrow it down.
Got to narrow it down, I suppose. When I was at Scouts and I didn't really have a lot of friends, and there were some girls there who were sort of like helping out because they knew some of the bigger boys at Scouts. I was like first, it was like my first year of Scouts. So when you're in Scouts, that's when you're like about sort of maybe 14, 15, and then you've got the older boys who go up to, I don't know, like 35 or whatever, because like they just can't let go and just keep going back there. I'm kidding, obviously. They're like in their late teens, early 20s. Even then, that might be a stretch. But they felt like they were older. And they were like, our like leader wasn't there for a week, so it was kind of like...
Our Kayla?
No, because that's Cubs.
Oh, okay.
And so like some of the bigger boys were there and some girls had come in that they were friends with, and they were sort of, and I was like, I didn't have any friends, so I was kind of like just walking around on my own namelessly, and they said something to me that was sort of making fun of me, and I was trying to sort of like be funny back to them but failing quite badly because, you know, I'm a 14-year-old idiot who's, you know, quite embarrassed because, you know, a girl's talking to you. And then I did the DX suck it as like my reply to something they did, and they were like, what is that? In my mind, I was like, well, everyone knows what this is, right? Because everyone's watching wrestling. They didn't. I felt very silly. I think about that quite a lot.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. Different person.
It was nearly 20 years ago, and I still think about that. Anyway, we've got a Poetry Corner submission here from Nikki the Postie. That's N-I-K-K-I from Stafford, UK. Here's my Poetry Corner. You're very welcome. Now, this is quite an interesting one. Because it is a poem, but it's in a paragraph.
Prose poetry.
Is that what prose poetry is?
Yeah, effectively. Does it rhyme?
Well, I don't know. I mean, because you know,
it's kind of very lyrical and not split over a meter or something.
Just check the first two lines do rhyme. Well, the first two sentences rhyme, so maybe
the formatting was lost.
Maybe. I have. So it's a poem called Canvas.
Mm.
I have no body or soul, but I definitely have heart. I'm ready for the bell, for the dance to start. I am the dance floor, the backdrop, the canvas for the art. I happily lie under the boots of great men and women. In blood, sweat and tears, I feel I'm consistently swimming. After the rush of the ramp, I feel the bring of the calm. I love being stamped on and hit by the referee's palm. Striking me, counting me from one through to three. I love the sounds of crowd jumping with glee. None of the magic could happen without little old me. I give the opportunity for superstars to shine. I am jumped on, slammed on, and I love it more every time. Over the years, I have shared the stage with the greats. Nights I'll never forget and always remember the date. October 17th, 99, when four lads kicked in the door. March 30th, 08, not a dry eye in sight, and rightfully so. 2014, on April 6th, the prince became king. On June 23rd, 96, a legend was born and grabbed the brass ring. When Hogan slammed Andre, when Vince screwed Brett, so many memories I'll never forget. Not always great matches, but not one I regret. This is my story, my life and my love. Wrestling, the art form, I can't place nothing above. So when you're all gone and forgotten about, myself and the art form will live on, no doubt. Hope you enjoyed it. On a related note, after watching yours and Laurie's prediction videos, why don't you start a predictions league? Yourself, Luke, Laurie, Brian Zane, anyone else of the WrestleTalk team, could always get Cultaholic, and whoever else is involved. Seems like an organised, fun way to do predictions, add stakes, and cross promote. You're again, and again, you're very welcome. Cheers, Nikki the Postie from Stakeford. Sent from her Sony Xperia smartphone.
Nice. That was a good poem.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was. I guess, it's not always the same Matt. So, falls down from a believability perspective. But I like the concept of the Matt. It was kind of like, especially at the start for the first half, I was like, man, this Matt, because it was told in the first person, bit of a bit of a masochist. I love being hit by the referee.
Stamped on,
stamped on. Shred on me, crowd. Dom me.
Right, just before we get on out of here, I've got this short one here from Owen Morgan. Hi, Luke. Brackets and Ollie this time.
Thank you.
I'm glad you both enjoyed my last poem. I didn't have it in me to write another unconventionally structured long form poem and partially about partially undressed men, so I've opted to send you two brief poems in the classic tried and true form of limericks.
Love a limerick.
So he sent us two. The first one: there once was a monster called Brawn, who was about 7 foot when he was born. He won a title He won a green title and held it for a night till, with a puff and a poof, it was gone. I'll be honest, his second one is better.
Okay, well, let's do that one.
I entered the arena with pride and yelled out my gimmick worldwide. Then I ran to the ring, tripped on nothing, and now I'll be known for a slide.
Oh, that's perfect.
That's so much better.
Great syllable count. Great flow.
Yep.
Tells everything without explicitly saying what it is.
Hope these guys give you a smile. I could have written out more, but it seems cruel to send hundreds at once. Maybe I'll save them for my inevitable heel turn. I don't know what a heel turn really means.
Just drip feed them.
Yeah. But that is all we have got time for on this Saturday episode. Hope you will have a smashing weekend if you are listening to this on a Saturday. If not, hope you have a good week when you're listening to it on your Monday commute. We'll be back on Tuesday for the Raw review. We're going to find out who's going to be Brock Lesnar's new contender for the Universal Championship at SummerSlam.
But it's Roman Reigns.
Or it's Bobby Lashley, and Hulk Hogan will endorse him at SummerSlam.
Laurie's committed that it's going to be Bobby.
He's very committed that it's
and
all Bobby's.
He won the predictions, so I don't know. I'm taking Laurie's nonsense with a bit more believability now.
Absolutely. But enjoy your weekend, or enjoy your week. We love you very much. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.